Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of the future of Islam. Today, Professor John Esposito is going to talk a little bit about democracy and how we, the United States of America, are living by a double standard when it comes to the topic of democracy. For we do not support democracy for the Muslim world. And today we will see the heart of Professor John Esposito for his stance with the Muslim Brotherhood, like it was in the case of Mr. Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton. This is the goal of the liberals in America, to bring the Muslim Brotherhood, the jihad organizations, to power all over the world, especially in the countries surrounding Israel. So without further ado, here he is, Professor Esposito.
And indeed, during President Bush's time, the State Department admitted that under all presidents, Democrat or Republican, we had had a policy, a double standard. We did not promote democracy in the Arab and Muslim world. We had chosen deliberately not. Why? Because even though we don't like authoritarian regimes, we work with them if we think they're in our interest. And so we supported Mubarak. We supported Ben Ali in Tunisia, those people who were overthrown.
Now, before I even comment on the claims of Professor Esposito, I have to explain to you what is going on in the Muslim countries, if it is Turkey, Egypt, Tunisia, or whatever other country in the Middle East. These countries are ruled by Muslims. And we have to understand there are two types of Muslims when it comes to the politics. There are the dictator Muslims or the Muslim jihadi leaders. And both of them are authoritarian regimes. So these countries will be ruled by one of two. Somebody who is controlling the government, who cares less about Sharia, or someone who is going to control the country and he will apply and force Sharia over the people of the land. Now, the non-Sharia leaders are dictators, like in the case of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, Mubarak of Egypt, Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and the rest of the neighboring Muslim countries. Or Muslim jihadi, like in the case of Erdogan in Turkey, or President Kais Saied in the country of Tunisia. In either case, you will not have democracy in the Muslim world, as I shared with you on our last program, because democracy and Islam do not mix. We will never have pure democracy as we understand it in America. Freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and freedom of anything. Because if you apply freedom to the Muslim world, you will lose Islam. The best example to give to you is this. If we will allow people to have freedom of choice, of what to eat, what to drink, how to dress, and what to believe, that itself would destroy the foundation of Islam. Because then you'll let the people choose to become a Christian, or to become a Muslim, or to become a Jew, or to become an atheist. And that's not acceptable in the Muslim world according to Sharia. You're a Muslim because you were born of a Muslim father, and you cannot leave Islam. If you leave Islam, we have to kill you. But if you allow the light of freedom to enter the life of the Muslim people in the Muslim world, that will end the existence of Islam. This is not a problem of the 21st century. This is a problem from the days of Muhammad, even after Muhammad died until today. And because of that problem, we have what we call the war of apostasy. That is when the good Muslims who want to stick with Islam kill the other Muslims who choose to leave Islam after the death of Muhammad. So now we understand the problem with the politician in the Middle East. Some who are dictators and others who are dictators by forcing Sharia on the people of these countries. So now let's go to Professor Esposito. Esposito. And he is telling us that during President Bush's time, the State Department admitted that under all presidents, Democrats and Republicans, and I'm glad he mentions that, because it's not President Bush's problem or Clinton and Obama's problem. It is the problem of the Muslim world because of Islam. He said, we had a policy, a double standard. What he is saying is, we do not promote democracy in the Arab and the Muslim world, but we promote democracy in the rest of the world. Now, it's not, by the way, Arab, because Turkish are not Arab. Iraqis are not Arabs. Syrians are not Arabs, even though all these countries now are controlled by Muslims. So the Babylonians of Iraq, the Egyptians of Egypt, the Assyrians of Syria, and the Turkish of Turkey, and so on with the rest of the neighboring countries, they're not all Arabs, even though we speak the Arabic language in some of these countries. And here we see the problem, my friends. The problem is not on our side here in America, but it is on the other side in these countries. Even though we in America would love to see democracy in the Muslim world, but in reality, we will never have democracy there, because democracy, once again, and Islam cannot mix together. But now I have to talk about another important fact. When you talk to people like Professor Esposito or the Democrats of America, who are so naive or so ignorant of the problem of the Muslim jihadi organizations, if it was Al-Qaeda or the Muslim Brotherhood or whatever other name of those who would like to control their countries. Here in America, when you have liberals who do not have logic or common sense, they look at these people and revolt in these countries. The Democrats think that these are freedom fighters, as I heard it from Senator McCain, really working so hard to support another revolution in the country of Syria against the President Bashar al-Assad. He met with the Muslim jihadi of Syria, and he came back to America to report that these are freedom fighters. And here is the fact. There is no freedom fighters of any of these Muslim countries if it is led by Muslim jihadi. These are literally the wicked parties of the Middle East. I prefer, as a Christian, to live under a dictator who does not want to force Sharia, Islamic law, on me as a Christian in any of these Arab or neighboring countries of the Middle East. But for Democrats like Professor Esposito, who are so liberal and do not have any logic, they want to support whoever is trying to take power. And if they have enough people to do it, they call this democracy. Because, hey, lots of people are asking for the change of the regime or the government of these countries. That's why Professor Esposito said, we have chosen deliberately not. Why? Because even though we do not like authoritarian regimes, we work with them if we think they are in our interest. My friends, this has nothing to do with the American interest to help Mubarak, the president of Egypt, or to help somebody else. Because in Egypt, we have one of two choices: to help Mubarak to keep peace between Egypt and Israel, and to keep the Christian to continue to live respectively in their own country of Egypt, or we'll help Mohammed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood to crush the Christians and to go on war against Israel. These are the only two choices. In either one, we're not going to have pure democracy in Egypt. But in the case of supporting Mubarak regime, this will keep peace in the Middle East, especially between Egypt and Israel. Professor Esposito continued to say, we work with them if we think they are in our interest. No, this is the only common sense choice we can ever have, because we do not have another option. Professor Esposito ended this segment by saying, and so we support Mubarak bin Ali in Tunisia, and those people were overthrown. No, my friends, those people were not overthrown by conservative of the country or by the good of the country. The Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt wanted to get rid of President Mubarak, as in the past they got rid of President Sadat by killing him, as they got rid of Mr. Jamal Abdel Nasser, who was also killed by them. All this is because they wanted to control the country of Egypt with Sharia. And what happened in Egypt is not been told truthfully here. For obviously, Professor Esposito, like Obama, like Hillary, would love to see Mohamed Morsi in power in Egypt instead of Mubarak or al-Sisi, who is now leading the country. And the Egyptians have better days right now in Egypt than it was in the 1 year or so of the presidency of Mohamed Morsi, with his savage leaders of Muslim Brotherhood all over the country of Egypt.
Skeptics are constantly grouping God's Holy Bible together with Muhammad's unholy Quran. These mockers claim that both books are filled with tales of unjustified violence and that they speak of jihad, or holy war, against the infidels. But is this true?
To answer this challenge, Usama Dakdok has released a two-volume book series investigating the concept of jihad in both the Bible and the Quran.
Volume 1, entitled Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible, takes an honest and unvarnished view of death and killing as recorded throughout the pages of the Holy Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, from the Flood to the Second Coming, Usama Dakdok examines the logical and moral justification for God's judgment against sin. From the conquest of Canaan to the cross of Calvary, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible provides the reader with a thorough and detailed investigation into this difficult yet crucial topic. In Volume 2, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Unholy War in the Quran, the author will likewise provide a fair and honest examination of the arbitrary and unjustified killing as commanded by Allah in the pages of the Quran. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy of this new book today. The Straightwave Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. And now, back to our show.
Well, let's move on to the next statement of Professor Esposito. That is concerning the coup of Egypt.
So one of the things that then becomes critical is, what happens when we have a coup in Egypt and the President of the United States refused to call it a coup? What happens when you have more violence committed under the current so-called government in Egypt than under Mubarak or any of the predecessors? More violence in the history of modern Egypt, more killing, more slaughter of thousands of people. And we talk about Egypt's on the path to democratization. Now, I'm just trying to give you a sense of how people, you know, wind up perceiving this. Because if we reinstate authoritarian regimes, then the whole sense is we don't have control over our future. We dislike, at a certain point, our government when we get to that point. And then we're not only going to dislike our government, we're going to dislike a government that supports our government, a government that trains our military, that provides weapons.
Did we have a coup in Egypt? This is a very important question. If you go online and do some search, you find out that Professor Esposito here is purely lying to the American people, and at least here to his audience, when he's telling us that we had a coup in Egypt. And obviously he said that because obviously he did not know the true history of Egypt and what took place in my home country. What is a coup? Here is the definition of a coup. It comes from the words coup d'etat, also called coup, C-O-U-P, which is a sudden, violent overthrow of an existing government by a small group. The chief prerequisite for a coup is control of all or part of the armed forces, the police, and other military elements, unlike a revolution, which is usually achieved by large numbers of people working for basic social, economic, and political change. So now, let us look at Egypt. What happened in Egypt? Was it a coup or a revolution? Professor Esposito here will tell you that it was a coup, but in reality, it was 100% a revolution. And now, let me prove to you that what happened in Egypt was a revolution and not a coup. What happened in Egypt on the 30th of June 2013 was that the Egyptian people, I'm not talking about a few hundred thousand, but over 30 million Egyptians, Some numbers actually said that there were more than 40 million sent the request for President Mohamed Morsi that his time was up because of the economic disaster he brought on Egypt and the social policies which destroyed our country because of the savage policies which he and his companions were forcing over the Egyptian people. And that's when the Egyptian people said no more for Mohamed Morsi and his savage leaders who were trying to run Egypt as it used to be in Mohammed days in the 7th century. We're talking about the decision was made by the millions of the people of Egypt, not by a few, and it was not a decision made suddenly as it is in the case of coup, but this was a request written for the president of Egypt at the time, and that was given weeks before June 30, 2013. Now, the reason Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Professor John Esposito still call this a coup, it's because they are the ones who helped Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood to take control of Egypt. And now they lost their man and their agenda. That's why the Egyptians did not get any support from Obama or Hillary, his Secretary of State, or any of the European countries or even the Arab Muslim countries. That was a decision of the Egyptian people who thought that this is it. This is a corrupt president with a corrupt team of workers. These are Muslim Brotherhood who deceived us first. They stole the election. Then they run the country for a long year to bring it to the ground, showing nothing but persecution to the Christians of Egypt and to anyone who thinks of having freedom in Egypt. But then later, Saudi Arabia and other Muslim countries reached out to the Egyptians, which took place after Obama refused to help the people of Egypt. And it was very clear that Mr. Barack Hussein Obama made his decision he will never send any more aid to Egypt, as the Egyptians were crying out to God for help. And believe it or not, many of the Arab countries started aiding the movement of Egypt, the movement of freedom and liberation of Egypt. And that was simply answer for prayers. Even the Muslims of Egypt, those who are I call Muslim by name only, said that the victory we have in Egypt and the help which came to Egypt was simply the answer of the God of the Christians. The Muslim Brotherhood were trying to crush the Christians of Egypt to end this revolution by burning our churches, by killing our people and anyone and everyone who stood against Mohamed Morsi, the lover of Obama and the Democrats like Professor Esposito of America. So once again, what happened in Egypt was not a coup, but a revolution. When Professor Esposito is speaking here about the violence committed under Mubarak, he's talking about more violence in the history of modern Egypt, more killing, more slaughter of thousands of people. Did Professor Esposito tell his audience who are the people who committed these savage acts? Of course not. You may think by hearing him that it was Mr. Mubarak, our president, and the military was slaughtering and killing the Egyptians. And that's why we should get involved in it and make sure that Mr. Morsi continued to be in power. No, my friends, it was the government of Mohamed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood, those whom we, under Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton, not only put in power but supported financially. Those are the ones who were doing the harassment. Those are the ones committing the violence. Those were the ones who were killing and slaughtering the Christians of Egypt and anyone who would stand up against their Sharia regime. And that's why we have the revolution of Egypt. It was not a coup. It was Egyptians speaking out loud for the whole world to hear. And once again, sadly, we did not get the support of America because Obama, Hillary, and people like John Esposito would love to see Egypt controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood, not just Egypt, but the rest of the neighboring countries surrounding Israel. Professor Esposito said, we're talking about Egypt's only path of democratization. And I'm sorry to tell you, I don't care how good Egypt will be. We will not have democracy in Egypt. Simply, once again, because we have Islam in Egypt. The problem is in Islam, not in the Egyptian president. A good example of that, when Al-Sisi tried hard to pass a law to allow Christians in Egypt to have the freedom to build churches as a place of worship, still, the Egyptian government will not give us that liberty. Then Professor Esposito is giving us the feeling of the people of the Middle East. Here is the reason why Muslims do not like America. It is because of our foreign policies in the Middle East. That's when he said, I'm just trying to give you a sense of how people wind up perceiving this. Because if we reinstate authoritarian regimes, then the whole sense is that we don't have control over our future. We dislike at a certain point our government. When you get to that point, and then we're not only going to dislike our government, we're going to dislike a government that supports our government, a government that trains our military, that provides weapons. This is a good excuse given by Professor Esposito. In simple words, he's telling us that the Muslims of Egypt dislike the government of America because America did not allow the Muslims of Egypt to have democracy because we supported a coup, not the president of the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohamed Morsi, and his people. And these are simply lies, my friends, from the bottom of hell. The Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood hate America before and after June 30, 2013. They always will continue to hate America. And the more power we give to the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt, the more they will hate us. And they think that someday, when the Muslim will have the Islamic State worldwide, they will crush America and they will control the whole world by the same laws, Sharia, Islamic laws, which the Muslims of Egypt rejected when we gave the Muslim Brotherhood the power to control Egypt for 1 year under the presidency of Mr. Barack Hussein Obama. And to continue our study of the future of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.